quite nice. Good start, eh?
Morning, guys. Really good to have the opportunity to share the word with you this morning. And yeah, I really believe that what I've got in my heart is something good for all of us. And trust in the Holy Spirit for today, just to take all of us further. I'm preaching on stewards of God's grace this morning and releasing kingdom blessing and provision into other lives and also into our own lives. So we're going to start with the scripture, 1 Peter 4, verse 10. It says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Greg Haswell, as you know, was here a couple of weeks ago, and you know, he preached an excellent teaching, probably the best I've heard, on spiritual gifts and how they operate. And before I carry on, because this is about releasing our spiritual gifts and allowing our spiritual gifts to flow into every area of our lives, I want to just recap on some of the important things that he said in this teaching. The first thing he mentioned was charismatic gifts, which are grace gifts, Romans 12, verse 6 to 8. They are a divine gratuity, a spiritual endowment, and they are the kind of gifts of prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, mercy, compassion, hospitality, speaking, and so forth. The second set of gifts that he spoke about were doma gifts. These are presents, just like summer gifts in Ephesians 4. And Jesus gave them to us when he ascended. And they are to help us to prepare God's people for works of service so that the entire body may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. And so, you know, we first have apostles, then prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those are doma gifts. And then thirdly, we have manifestation gifts. You can read about those in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 10. They are gifts of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, also prophetic discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Just a few notes that I want to mention on these gifts that Greg spoke about. The first one is that they should not be neglected, but they need to be fanned into flame. We need to recognize them, and we need to create practical expression for them and constantly exercising them. And we can read that in 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Secondly, they do not necessarily reflect spiritual maturity. I can have the most awesome healing gift, and I can just be like an absolute baby Christian, don't know anything. I could also be behaving like a bit of a maverick, but also just have this amazing anointing to be able to heal people. Thirdly, they can be transferred by the laying on of hands. Fourthly, they should be eagerly desired. We should really be eager to have these gifts. Fifthly, the Holy Spirit uses the furnishings of our mind. Whatever we've got in our mind, the Holy Spirit will take that. We're all different. We're all wired differently. We all have different basic needs and values and experiences in our lives. The Holy Spirit will take whatever is in us, and the Holy Spirit will use that to bless others through our gifts. Clarity and simplicity are essential for effective ministry. It doesn't help to really sort of just get too complicated about it and get too super spiritual about it, because you know, actually we intimidate people, and we often chase people away, and we even chase the Holy Spirit away, because the Holy Spirit's like, what the heck's going on here? You know, just be naturally supernatural. They are to be acknowledged and affirmed by leaders and the body of believers. People around you will acknowledge your gift and say, wow, you've got an awesome gift for compassion, or you've got an awesome gift for mercy, you know. So people will acknowledge your gifting. Eighthly, their timing, style, and relevance in the corporate context is to be assessed by leadership. For example, when we have a corporate meeting out this morning, Bill was doing the Mark ministry, and whoever came up to him, he would assess whether what you had to bring, whatever it was in the context of where the meeting was going, where the worship was going, and what he felt the Holy Spirit was saying. So the meeting flowed followed that sort of golden thread. The spirit of prophecy is subject to the prophet. Just because we have a word, just because we have something, does not mean that it's for now. Does not mean that it's for everybody. It might just be for you. These things need to be assessed correctly. And then finally, we owe the lost consideration as to when and how we exercise these gifts. Because although we welcome manifestations of the Holy Spirit, we just love to see manifestations, I think sometimes it's important to consider the lost, and how are they going to respond to these gifts and manifestations? And so, just following on from that, today I want to talk about stewarding all these gifts, the gifts that God has given us, and how to exercise and grow these gifts. I'm not going to go into detail about each individual gift, but I'm going to do kind of an overall why and how. Why and how we should grow them and exercise them in our daily life context, and how to release kingdom blessing and provision and favor to those we encounter every day in our workplace, on the sports field, in the church, in every area of our lives. We want to release blessing, favor, and provision into their lives, and thereby release blessing and favor into our lives. I first want to talk about the why, and then we're going to go on to the how. Okay, firstly with the why, we should exercise the gifts that God has given us. Firstly, we're going to look at a scripture which says, do unto others as you would have done unto yourself. It's a well-known scripture. We all know it. And many Christians, particularly those that are under grace, have fallen prey to the misperception that because God has forgiven them and done all these amazing things for us through the power of the cross, that they can treat unsaved and even saved brothers and sisters abominably, and that it doesn't matter, that it won't have any effect on them, and that there won't be any consequences because God has forgiven them. And I think the thing to point out is that they've completely confused the horizontal cross with the vertical cross. Let me show you, and I thought maybe you might feel that I brought these up here to kind of get ugly with somebody. But it's difficult now that I've got this handheld to actually do this properly. So I'm just going to do one at a time, you know. Okay, so that's the vertical cross. Okay, that's the vertical part of the cross. And you see on the vertical, they're quite correct, because God has forgiven us all our sins. He's done it all. He's taken all our punishment, all our sickness, all our sin. It's all been wiped out. It's been covered by the blood of Jesus. We covered 24/7 by the blood of Jesus. We're justified, we're righteous, etc., etc., etc. We've got the waterfall of the blood of Jesus and the grace and favor of God flowing over us 24/7. These things are constant, and God will never, ever remove his love away from us. He'll never, ever take these away. because Jesus paid the price. This is fixed. This is firm. This is never changing. It's unchanging. Okay? We've always got our salvation there. Jesus paid the price, though. He paid the price for that. Okay, now, I'm going to put this down, and I'm going to pick up another little one here. Okay, well, there. Thanks, Paul. Okay, there now, but that's the vertical. Now we have the horizontal, okay? It's quite different when we're dealing with this, okay? Because with this one, we're now dealing with one another, okay? This is how we relate to one another. If I sin against Bill, it's not God's responsibility to put that right. It's my responsibility to come to Bill and to put that right. Say, Bill, I'm sorry, you know, that I've offended you. And you know, if you read in Matthew 15 and Matthew 18, it tells us clearly the whole story about what we need to do. Thanks, Bill. That's good. If I don't do what I'm expected to do or what I should do in the church context, I could actually be asked to leave the church. We can read that in Matthew 15. Not only that, but I will probably also lose credibility in my community, and I will lose favor with my fellow man, possibly everyone will hear about all my shenanigans and what I've been up to, and nobody's going to want to deal with me. It's almost like the 10-foot barge pole thing, you know. Keep away from that guy with a 10-foot barge pole. So, I'm going to talk, you know, whatever I'm talking about today is really mainly in the context of this horizontal, okay, not the vertical. The vertical is given. The horizontal is what we want to talk about today in terms of exercising our giftings. The way that I treat my neighbor or my brother has a direct effect on my prosperity, my favor in the community, my future success, and whether I succeed or fail in my earthly endeavors, in the earthly context. The outworking of my horizontal relationships directly affect my inheritance, because people are my inheritance, not things. You, all of you, are my inheritance. How I relate to you, how I love you, how I sow into your life, how I respond to your needs, is very key to whether I'm going to have an inheritance in you. And I think that's where so many of us kind of get it very wrong. You know, we think it's okay to just trash people. It's okay. It doesn't matter. We still forgive her, and, you know, it's cool. But that's fine, but I think we don't realize how we are affecting our inheritance, because people are the only vehicle that will ever end up in the kingdom of heaven. And just like bank, like we would keep our assets and in property and in banks, in terms of the earthly context, in terms of the kingdom, the only way that we can invest and keep our inheritance intact is if we invest in people. Because you are the only vehicles that will end up in the kingdom of heaven. And you're the only place that I can sow into to ensure that my inheritance gets to where it should go, where rust and moth is not going to devour it. Are you okay with that? Are you with me? Amen. So I want to say that spiritual laws all fully apply in my horizontal relationships, and definitely were not abolished because of the grace of God. Because God extended grace to me in the vertical does not mean to say that that grace was extended to one another also in the horizontal. Okay? And spiritual laws do apply in this. As you sow, so shall you reap. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do not judge. As you judge, so shall you be judged. And so on and so forth. These are laws that are really not avoidable in this horizontal relationship. And this is why Jesus gave us so many good, clear commands that relate to our horizontal relationships with one another. I'm just going to read, you know these scriptures, so I'm not going to go chapter and verse. I'm just going to read them. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another as I have loved you. If you're at the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift and first go and make peace with your brother. Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Give and it shall be given to you. A good measure, pressed down and shaken, will fall into your lap. Do not judge others, for you will be judged with the same measure that you have used to judge them. As you give, so shall you receive. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. There are many, many more, as we know. And Jesus gave us his command because he loves us and he wants us to be blessed in every possible way. He doesn't want us to get stuck in the mire. He wants us to understand and to have a clear picture of how we can be blessed. And he's saying that it's okay for us to love ourselves because we're lovable. You might not think I'm lovable, but my dad does. My wife also does. And our dad loves us very deeply because we're worth loving. But if we really love ourselves, then we'll also love the people that he put around us, and we'll use the gifts that we have to love them, to bless them, and to empower them. And by so doing, we will also ensure that we are blessed and provided. For as you give, so shall you receive. The extent to which we pour out our love and our gifts, our time and our talents, and blessings to those that God has put around us will determine the exact extent to which we ourselves receive blessing, favor, honor, provision, etc. Except whatever we meet out and whatever we give, which is inexhaustible because we just draw it from the kingdom. Whatever we need, we draw it and we just dispense it as stewards of God's grace. We always get back more than we've dispensed. You know, God just crams it full, makes sure that it's packed full, you know. So we always get back more than we dispense. And that's how we ensure that we release kingdom provision and blessings over ourselves as well, by ensuring that the life of God and the gifts flow through us, and we just touch and bless people wherever we're going as much as possible. We sow wherever we can. We just do good wherever we can, because we know that actually, it's a bit selfish actually, because I know that as I'm blessing you, that I know that it's going to come back to me, but in a greater measure. And that's how I'm ensuring my blessing, my provision. Are you okay? Are you with me? So if we really loved ourselves, we would eagerly desire every gift and constantly be on the lookout for every opportunity to sow our gifts generously into people's lives. And that way we can ensure that we get smothered with every blessing, absolutely smothered. Can I say that again? If we really love ourselves, we would eagerly desire every gift and constantly be on the lookout for every opportunity to sow our gifts generously into people's lives, thus ensuring that we get smothered with every blessing. Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Galatians 6, verse 7. Okay, so let's just look at that. God is not mocked. A man reaps in this horizontal what he sows. Sow love, reap love. Sow kindness, reap kindness. Sow mercy, reap mercy. Sow compassion, reap compassion. Sow encouragement, reap encouragement. Sow peace, reap peace. Sow disunity, reap disunity. Sow hatred, reap hatred. Sow dishonor, reap dishonor. Sow enmity, reap enmity. Sow destruction, reap destruction. I don't want to be ugly, but that is exactly what is happening on this level. That's why Paul says, continue to do good on every occasion. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do not repay anyone. Continue. Whatever the circumstances are, whatever the situation, whatever you're going through, whatever anybody has ever done to you, do not repay evil with evil, but continue to do good on every occasion. Why? Because you're being a good farmer. You're actually making sure that you're always sowing good seeds. And you're sowing them in abundance, in the right season, in the right situation, and you're ensuring that you reap a harvest of righteousness, that you're going to reap continuously because you're continuously sowing good seeds. Because the enemy would want us to respond and react in the physical and say, oh, well, he did that, I'm justified in doing that. Yeah, maybe, but actually, as Paul says, all things are permissible, but are they profitable? No, it's not profitable. What's profitable is just to continue doing good, loving our enemies, doing good to those who hate us. Can you imagine a farmer in the Free State kind of rocking on his porch, rocking up and down, rocking up and down? And it's like, hey, Harvey, what are you doing? He's just looking out. He's just looking out at the field. And they're just like, there's nothing there. They're actually devoid of anything, just sand. It's like, I'm waiting for my harvest, eh? I'm waiting. Okay, cool. Well, what did you sow? No, I didn't sow anything. No, I'm just waiting here. I'm just, something's going to come up, you know. Something's will come up. So it's like, well, I don't think so, Harvey. You know, you say you didn't sow anything, but you're expecting something to come up in that field. Yeah, that's what I'm here for. I'm waiting. I think, you know, that's absurd, isn't it? I mean, it's a silly story. Yeah, it's really silly. But, you know, I think there are a lot of people that are like that. They don't sow anything. They never sow. But actually, they moan and complain because there's no harvest. Well, what did you sow? What did you sow? You cannot expect to reap something if you never sowed anything. Do you know what I mean? Am I being ugly? I don't be ugly, eh? Okay, so I think that is the first why. It's because really it's actually about us. It's about our lives. It's about our prosperity, about our wholeness, about our provision, about our success. That's why we exercise our gifts. That's why we sow our gifts into other people's lives. And we just give generously and we're constantly sowing good seeds. Because actually, it might be a bit selfish, but actually Jesus said, you know what? I love you. I want you to be a blessing to everybody. Love everybody. Be good to everybody because whatever you do to other guys, whatever that same thing is going to come back to you. So I want you to sow good stuff. I want you to really just go out of your way to be an absolute blessing to everybody that you encounter. Then I know you're going to be smothered with blessings. You're going to be smothered with everything that you need. And that's what I want. I want to see you more having more than in your life. In every situation, even in famine, I want you to see you having more than in every situation. And the second why is, and Greg mentioned this when he preached this thing about spiritual gifts. The second reason is because God delights in exercising kindness and justice and righteousness in all the earth. It's Jeremiah 9, verse 24. Our dad is so good. His delight is to exercise kindness and goodness and to bless people out of their socks. And so we know, I mean, this is what we're here for. We're here to display the goodness of our dad in our community, to show our community how awesome and loving and kind our father is. And so that's the second why we do this, is because we know our dad wants to bless everybody. We know our dad is good. He's awesome. But the world don't believe that. They don't see his goodness. They don't understand how awesome he is. And he wants us to be his ambassadors in the world. and to go and to just bless everybody out of their socks and say, hey, this is from my dad. This is from my dad. He wants you to know that he's good. He wants you to know that he's a loving dad. He wants you to know that he's not what you think he is, or what you, how you feel about him. But this is how he is. He's awesome. He's giving. He's kind. He's compassionate. His goodness is his glory. His love is his glory. And so that's the second why we do this. Okay, so I'm going to go a bit onto the house, okay? And so how do we dispense this? What does it look like when we do it? When we go and we exercise our gifts and we are the people that God is calling us to be in the marketplace and in our homes and schools and sports field, wherever we are, what does it actually look like? Okay. And how can we dispense? How can we be good stewards of God's grace and dispense all these gifts and blessings? The first thing is that we need to choose to lose our lives for his sake. Luke 9, verse 23 and 24, Jesus said, if you preserve your life, you lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. And I just feel, yes, I know that we have lost our lives and we've gained it with Jesus. We already seated in heavenly places with him. But I think it goes a bit further. And I just feel that it's also about standing with the Father against ourselves somehow and not preserving our time, not preserving our talents, not preserving our gifts, not preserving our wealth, our love, but actually freely releasing it all. To choose to freely give, because we receive freely, and so we can afford to give freely. We choose to please God and not ourselves. True freedom is the desire and the capacity to act against ourselves because we love our King and we love his people. Yeah, you know, everyone is fighting some great battle. Everyone. Every one of us that's sitting here right now is fighting some battle. And when I come along and I help you to win that battle, I come and I just bring the thing that you need, whether it be finance, whether it be encouragement, whether it be prayer, whether it be a word. When I do that, I'm helping you to win your battle. I'm helping you. And by the same token, when I'm fighting a battle, what God does is he sends you my way. And you come with your gift and you bring just what I need to help me to get through my battle, to give me victory in my battle, in my circumstance. And I want to tell you, for us, I mean, I can see Joe's, you know, when we talk about the things that people have done for us and the awesome people that God has sent us in this difficult time. You know, I gave a testimony a few weeks ago. I don't know how many of you were here, but there's so many people that God has sent our way, so many people that have been such a huge blessing. We could never, ever have got to the difficult times that we've had without these people. They are God's people. God sent them to us because we helped other people. We blessed other people. We exercised our gifts when others were back in a fierce battle. And God is blessing us. He is saying, you know, as you sow, so shall you reap. Yeah, so we thank God for the people that he sent, that he's still sending right now. Right now, you know, it's amazing. God's people. Some people who don't even know Jesus have come to help us, you know. And that's our dad, you know. He's so awesome. And he's so true to his word. The next thing is, the way it looks is that we choose to reign and rule with Jesus in heavenly places at the right hand of God. That is the next kind of thing that helps us to be the kind of vessels that God wants us to be in terms of just releasing our gifts and our love to people. We choose to not be independent, and we choose not to have self-government so that we can reign and rule with Jesus. We choose to be dependent on Him. We don't have any of our own agendas. We have nothing to prove to anyone. We're sure of our calling and who we are. We're secure in our identity, and we're secure in the love of our dad. We don't have to always rush to defend ourselves, to prove that we're right, because we've been justified. We have been justified. It's not so much about right or wrong. Most of the time, when we try and prove we're right, there's no life in it. There's only death. There's no success in that. There's only failure. And sometimes you just need to relax, because we've already been declared to be in the right. We just need to make sure that there's life, that there's success. The next thing that will help us to be good stewards and to dispense life is when we choose to make no distinction between what belongs to us and what belongs to God. Because we already co-heirs with Christ, and we share in all things. And when we came to the cross, we took the little that we had, and we put it at the cross. And said, Jesus, has a little bit that I've got. It's yours. I'm yours. And then we got this amazing, incredible inheritance in the saints. We became co-heirs with Jesus in all things. I mean, we can't even imagine the wealth in the galaxy and what riches and wealth the kingdom holds. But we are co-heirs with Jesus in all things. And what happened at that point when we came with this little mingy thing, we became partners with God. And the line that separated what belonged to me and what belonged to God was rubbed out. The Holy Spirit rubbed it out. And it's like, hey, what's mine is my dad's, and what's my dad's is mine. And there's unlimited access to whatever I need. I can go at any time, and I can access the kingdom of heaven. I can draw on resources from the kingdom. There's no line anymore. There's no line. You know? The only time that line comes in is when I draw that line. Say, oh, that's mine. It's yours. But we can access whatever we need at any time. We can go and draw provision, power, gifts, blessings, resources, grace, mercy, promises, etc., etc. Whatever we need is totally and freely accessible. There is no line anymore. I just say that again, there's no line, friends, anymore. You're free to access whatever you need, because you're co-heirs with Jesus in all things. You have a share in the kingdom of heaven. So we can afford to be generous on every occasion. We don't have to be mingy. Because God is our partner. And you know what? God wants everybody to be lavishly blessed. God doesn't want to do half a job when we bless people. I think God despises minginess, but He's so generous and so lavish. And we need to accurately represent our Father. We need to lavish on people in every possible way. Because that's what our dad does to us. He lavishes every gift on us. And so we do the same to others. It's not how much we have, but it's how much we can trust our dad for. It's not how much we have, but it's how much we can access through the kingdom of heaven. We can have nothing, but we can have absolute access at any time. So therefore, we have everything that we need. Is that okay? The next thing, and I think I'm going to end on this one, is we choose to live every area of our lives under one set of rules, the Word of God, Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Whether in the church or at home, in the marketplace, on the sports field, we don't compromise the Word of God by having different sets of rules for different sets of friends and circumstances. So we almost like a chameleon, just jumping from one set of rules to the next. And I think many churches are like that, where people come into church and it's easy to play church in church. But where God wants us to exercise the power of His Word is in the marketplace, is out there more than anything else. And I want to say that this Word is fit to reign and rule in every area of our lives. It's fit to reign and rule in our home, in our businesses, wherever. And we don't take this hat off. We don't take this Word away from reigning and ruling. We walk around with it like wherever we go. It's not just for the church. And I think, I can empathize with people where they expect to see in the marketplace. They want to see this Word work. And this Word works in the marketplace. But people of God decide to play by the world's rules in the marketplace, and people get upset. They're disappointed because they desperately need to see Christ in us, the hope of glory, and they can't because we're not exercising this Word and showing them the power of this Word in the world. And so when we keep this above every area of our lives, we are bringing life to others because they're seeing what they desperately want to see. They're seeing the Word of God operating right before them. And they can understand then the context of the church. They can understand that God is alive, that His Word is alive and active. They are being healed. They are being touched when we pray for them. We're spending time talking and listening and helping. We are doing whatever we can in that context to bring life to people of the world. And our own lives as well are like an open book. And we don't have to worry about changing stuff all the time and, I've got to be different channel. No, we can just be who we are. We can be exactly who God made us to be because we're free. We're not limiting ourselves by changing to different rules all the time. We can just flow with the Word. And we're comfortable with the Word, because Jesus is the living Word. And we can just dance with Jesus in our workplace and wherever we are. Our life is just a 24/7 prayer, because the Word of God constantly hovers over us and reigns over every area of our lives. So I'm going to stop there. There's a lot more, but I just really feel that James, I'd just like the worship team, Dom, are you around? Can you come up, please? I just really want to allow God to do what I feel He wants to do today. And I just love that song that the guys played earlier. And it was The Floodgates of Heaven. Let it pour. Let it rain. And I'm going to ask Dom and the worship team to just sing that song again. And while they're doing that, I just want to pray for you guys. I just want to give you an opportunity to maybe forgive and be forgiven. I think a lot of the time in the world, there's so many things that happen that upset us, and we react in a negative way, and actually we unwittingly are ugly to people, and somehow we stop our wells up because we're not just flowing with the river of God. We just kind of have unforgiveness maybe. Maybe other people have done stuff to you, which is hectic, you know. And maybe it's hard for you to kind of just... It's so important that our gifts flow, that we're free, that the wells are open, that whatever gifting God has given us can flow through a nice, clean well. And I feel that forgiveness or unforgiveness is part of that today. So while they're singing, I'd like you guys to maybe even just come up here. We're not going to pray for you for these things. I feel that we just want to worship over you. And you're just going to tell God what it is that you need to open those wells. And we just want to worship over you. I also want to ask the Holy Spirit for those who need a fresh dollop of the Holy Spirit, for those of you who need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, to just empower you to begin to let the rivers flow, to begin to allow your gifts to begin to flow out of you. And I just felt that there was going to be a recommissioning. The Holy Spirit's going to recommission you. And just a fresh anointing coming over you. And I also felt that the Holy Spirit wants to release some gifts over you today. And Paul said, desire the greater gifts. And I feel that as you come out here and as you're worshiping, it's on your own. Ask God for that greater gift, the greater gift that you desire, that you strongly desire. And I feel that God is going to, the Holy Spirit's going to release that over you without anybody even laying hands on you. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.